God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Welcome to Dog Poet Transmitting, whatever is arriving for the purpose of transmission, and we'll see what that is as we go along. At the moment, we are in the saucer pod, hovering above a grassy meadow near my temporary home, which is somehow connected to the changes I got put through during the temporary period that I live here. I have to remember it's temporary because it can weigh on me if I don't. There are a lot of things we need to remember and which we constantly forget. I know this because I am constantly reminded that I have forgotten, and I assume it is true for everyone else because I am everyone else. But not in that laissez-moi thing that de Gaulle said in relation to himself, but in the way that we are all each other, simply differing in terms of our place on the spiral staircase and the peculiar way in which the stars and planets operate through and upon us. I've noticed a great deal about this coming period of May 20th to June 1st. I'm not going to go into detail about opening world events and the configuration of the planets during that time. I probably don't know enough to talk about it anyway, but some of our leaders and listeners and readers might. Anyway, I already posted that at the blog, so, well, let's just continue. We've been lingering on the precipice of radical change for a long time. I don't think there's anyone among us who didn't think it would all happen sooner than this. Let me inform you that what is taking place is the arrangement of all of the special pieces and all the internal arrangements of the players, and that includes you and me. What is taking place involves an immense amount of placement and configuration. What is taking place is also an act of mercy and the kind of toleration of which only God is capable. Also, only God is capable of seeing the ins and outs as well as the future implications in perfect detail. God knows things that none of us know, even the wisest and most spiritually psychic. We don't know. None of us do. And all of us would be surprised to know to what a degree we actually think we know what's going to happen. This is critical to keep in mind, as it frees us up to be optimistic. The reason we think we know is because of the impact and power of appearances on our senses. This is never more intense than it is in Kali Yuga. Our senses are never so dim and confused as they are in Kali Yuga. Awakening is never more difficult than in Kali Yuga. Ancient infernal forces are working overtime to keep us continually confined and asleep in dark dreams of people and things. The good news is that God is more powerful than anything else ever will be. God is more powerful than the totality of his creation. The spiritual sun never gets to midday in terms of his expression of power in all this manifest. There's always more in reserve than there is in manifestation. Absorb this. Let it fill and thrill you with its positive implications. Consider this deeply and reflect on it well. One of the negatives that all of us experience in this Kali Yuga is that we base so much of what we consider real on the conclusions we draw from what we see and hear and feel. This is one of the major positive aspects of Bhakti Yoga. It puts you in direct communication with the source of everything. Imagine that. Try to get your head and heart around it. See, we talk about these things. We speculate and it rattles around in our head like one lonesome marble looking for a drop hole. Well, that drop hole is the subconscious. That's what it drops into. And that is where this need is to take root so that it can bear fruit. It's as simple as that. If we were really getting the meaning of some of the things I just said, and that includes me, we wouldn't have any other interest except getting in touch with our Maker as soon as possible, remembering it happens on his time and not to get discouraged or impatient and never to give in to despair. Think about these things. Think about the fact that these things are true, and much, much more is true as well. Why, with the obvious facts, and they are obvious to anyone who can effectively employ their mind, why does it not register? That is the power of appearances and the force of illusion in Kali Yuga. Persistence is the key here. Persistence and determination. When a person has their mind right, they recognize that God is most impressed by a relentless effort to reach him, her. When God is convinced that you will not stop no matter what, and that it is your main focus and supreme aspiration, then it will be no great distance of time before God decides to close the distance. One thing we should remember, and if we've not heard it before, make sure that we do remember, is that the divine is looking for us harder than we are looking for the divine, and also the divine started looking for us before we started looking for the divine. We should also accept unequivocally that the divine will always love us and has always loved us and does love us more than we will ever be capable of reciprocating. All of these points that I am sharing are meant to reinforce each other. The more points of this nature, and there are many, many of them, will have the effect of impacting on the mind so as to be utterly convincing. And that is what we want. We want to be utterly convinced, and we are not. We vacillate. Why do we vacillate? Because we are not convinced. We are unstable at the root of our intention. This is serious business. There is no business more serious than this that we will ever have. We need to be convinced of this too. This is another reinforcement. Consider what is being said here. Extrapolate upon it. Deliver it to the gateway of your intuition. Drop it through the drop hole into your subconscious. Converse with your angel about it. We all have one. Your angel is the intermediary between you and the absolute, the ineffable. It is a rare, rare individual who can communicate directly. From the day you were born, there has only been one thing of any importance, and that is contacting Source. Once you do that, you're home free, except for the agony of separation and the time between the activation and the communion. The divine will not let up once the connection has been made, and you will find it impossible too. It can be very trying and it can hurt because the divine has to open your heart, and there's no way there will not be some pain in the process. You can think of it as growing pains because it certainly is. The capacity of your heart must grow in order to contain the divine. It has to be purified so as to become a fitting host for the divine. It must accomplish the absorption of the mind. All of this is part and parcel of an ancient and eternal process that is accomplished entirely by the angel. You do nothing. Everything on your part is done by getting into position for the process to occur, and you might consider that you didn't have much to do with that either, except for being willing, determined, and persistent. This is another reason for bhakti yoga as the best choice in this Kali Yuga, because all that is required is to love the divine with all your heart and mind. It's so simple even a child can do it. And you must become as a child to be truly effective in any case. This is all about regenerated innocence and the renewal of the mind. It is spoken of in the Bible as putting off the old man. This is serious business. Implant this in your mind. Tell yourself this is serious business. It's the most important business that you will ever be engaged in. Let yourself know that it is a most peculiar thing that it doesn't register as compellingly powerful to the degree that you can't think of anything else. Let yourself know that it must become like this, that you want it to be like this, that it is your fervent prayer, which you will make whenever you can come around to remembering it, that this is what you want and that you want it more than anything. You have to keep telling yourself this. You have to see it as an actuality in your mind. You have to make it clear to yourself that you can actually see that it is so and that you are dreaming and that you need to wake up inside of this dream to the reality that is permanent, unlike the dream. I once heard a master describe how one must be in order to make that connection a definite result. Go into a swimming pool or a lake and hold your breath while you're underwater and stay there until all you can think about is a breath of air. This is how intense it should become, and then you will know the meaning of success is speedy for the energetic. I was speaking with my master today, that would be tomorrow for the listener, and he said that if I would just up my game a little, do what I can manage to recall the divine into my heart and mind somewhat more than I am presently doing, that the effect would be much more pronounced. I got a real sense of the implications of this, and I'm not trying to include the divine in everything I think and say and do. If I think something, I refer to the divine and ask what the divine thinks about it. If I say something, I just speak to the divine, no matter who it may appear that I am speaking to. And there's a real perk to this in that the divine is in everyone you speak to, so the intention is a summons of the divine in whomever you are speaking to. Whatever I do, I associate with the divine as if if we're directly connected to the divine. The result has been a tad ragged and inconsistent, but there are dramatically more results now than there were before. I just have to keep at it. So I went to bed last night, as it turns out. I was writing this Wednesday and thought it was Thursday, so technically you heard your portion of this the day before tomorrow, but that's all beside the point. Anyway, before I went to sleep, I slipped off into a trance state, and I wound up never actually going to sleep, and for some reason I was able to engage the divine without interruption the whole night long. That's never happened before. I woke up this morning with the most exquisite state of mind. I can barely remember what happened. Through the early part of the day, I kept forgetting, and then it all returned a couple of hours ago. It's proving to me what is possible by my having up my game a little. This is the purpose of my talking about personal experiences as much as I do, because I've come to realize that the similarities in our common estate are just too numerous to ignore. Every day there's an indication of it from someone, and though I don't actually understand it, I take it to be a very positive sign from common occurrences that are set to happen in all of us. Group telepathy and experiential commonality are serious indicators of our transitioning in a dimensional shift, or at least that's what I take away from it, and usually I require a lot of evidence, since I am one of those trust but verify types. I can't always talk about the things that happen here. Sometimes there are no words to equal the task, and sometimes it doesn't get said for reasons unknown to me. The purpose of my mentioning this is that it speaks to my almost certitude about certain things. It speaks to my optimism, unsupported by the evidence of appearances. I don't know, but someone close to me does, and the vibration of their presence influences my state of being. I very often use the image of an outdoor pump handle, and it's a powerful image. Anyone taking the trouble to employ it will reap the sure and certain benefits. You go up and down on the pump handle, and nothing happens. Nothing comes out of the spout. After a bit, a trickle of water comes out, and then it becomes a stream. If you keep pumping, the water will eventually run clear. And then if you take your hand off the pump, the water will just keep running on its own. Every feature of this little example is important, such as the dirty water that first comes out. We can look at the inception of our spiritual practice as being something like this, and we initially buy into and accept a lot of things that might not be true. I've constantly mentioned bhakti yoga because it is such a direction and simple route to the divine. You can liken the action on the pump handle to prayer, meditation, chanting, and any of the practices that we employ to get the attention of the divine. The most powerful for me is to hold my attention fixed on the idea of the presence of the divine and to converse with the divine all day long, which means for some people that I talk to myself. Well, in a matter of speaking, that's true, isn't it? I also try to remind myself that I'm speaking to the divine no matter who I'm speaking to. That feature hasn't come into play yet, but it should be coming up. I have a feeling. Oh my goodness. Well, if we apply this pump handle analogy, we can expect it to be successful in whatever we apply it to. Clues are placed in our way, in our path, all day long, all up and down the course of our life. We're not very attentive, though. We don't look at our existence as a continuous dynamic with a single purpose. We don't tumble to the fact that we are under observation at all times. We'd be a lot further ahead than we are now if we did. The seeker has to wake up every morning and greet the divine first thing. The seeker has to go into their day aware that the whole day is programmed to the intent of their liberation and awakening. Most people sleepwalk through their existence. They don't get the living, breathing truth that the whole thing is alive and aware of them. This is a serious thing to become aware of. It changes everything. Every seeker would do well to engage their lives in this fashion. In this way, you make the pursuit of the presence of the divine the paramount and supreme objective of your life. Once that's in place, oh my, look out, in a very good way. And this is not to say you may not go through all kinds of tests and difficulties, but you are also on your way. And once you get the feel of the whole thing, it becomes increasingly easier. It's different for everyone. What happens for me and the way it happens to me is not the same as it will be for you. But there are some similarities common to all of us. You become familiar with the divine, and as that deepens, so many wonderful things can begin to take place. Until one consciously makes the decision to have their life become a running movie, through the whole of every day, and that movie is about finding the divine, well, you're just spinning your wheels. You're not serious. You are the author of Inconsistent Effort, and Inconsistent Effort doesn't succeed. Well, my friends, time has come, as it always does, the end of another broadcast. Been my pleasure to share these 15 minutes with you, and I hope you get some meat to go with your potatoes, as well as a visit to the salad bar here. Dessert is coming. Maybe even brandy and cigars, metaphorically speaking. You can count on a nightcap, my friends, when you are dining with the divine. And you can count on sweet dreams once you awaken from all those muddy dreams that are the environment of this manifest and material world. I'm sorry to say I've had dogs barking throughout my entire show this evening, but I don't think it comes across so well through the microphone. I'll be a little upset if it does. Anyway, I'll see you next week, if there is one, and I expect some surprises between then and now. May the love of the Supreme Being surround and protect you. That said, Hare Krishna, salute Lord Jesus Christ, Alhamdulillah, Om Amitabha, Aloha, and Aru!
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.